Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel just read from St. Luke chapter 1, the Annunciation of the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary. King David had it all. His enemies were dust under his feet. He had a beautiful wife, Michal. He had a grand city, Jerusalem. He had a palace that was the envy of kings for hundreds of miles. King David had everything. And it was only then that the thought occurred to him, I should build a house for God. He is still traveling in a tabernacle, a tent. God deserves better than that, so he thought. So David set out to build a better house for God, a temple made with hands that would be beautiful beyond all compare, and would put to shame the lowly tent of a tabernacle that God had set up. God will come down and dwell with us even more if we make everything just right for him down here. Isn't that how it goes so often? We believe instinctively that in order for God to come down and dwell among us, we have to set things up just right. Our house must be in order. Things must be just so. We can't let anyone or anything be out of place, or God may not really want to dwell with us. Do you live in that mindset? Now, I know we don't consciously think this way, or not very often at least. But underneath it all, I suspect that for us there is a sense that in order for things to be right with God, well, we've got to get right ourselves first. We have to clean house. Maybe even build a new house for God. I shudder to think of how many people never darken the door of a church because they fear they have to get their act together in order for God to accept them here. If only they knew us better. God had an answer for his servant, David. He said through the prophet Nathan, I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. Violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is where Mary comes in, and the angel Gabriel. David wanted to do something for God, but he was too weighed down by his sins and transgressions to have anything to offer. For centuries, humanity had been weighed down by sin and shame. Death ruled over us all. But no more. The Archangel Gabriel came to Mary, a peasant girl from the house of David. His greeting sets the stage for the most amazing story of all time. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. That term, O favored one, is one of the richest in the whole Bible. It literally means graced one, something like that. It means that God looks down upon you with eyes of kindness. As we say in the benediction, God shines upon you, lifts up his countenance upon you, and gives you peace. That's the graced one. And that is how God looks at this young girl from the backward city of Nazareth. God would give her a child by the Holy Spirit, and that child would be the very Word of God made flesh. Mary's womb would become the tabernacle through which God himself would come into the world. By entering into the womb of Mary, God made the womb the most holy place of all. It is here that life begins. Every life, but especially this life, real life, true life, and eternal life, not just for Jesus, not just for Mary, but for the entire world. I don't think we can overestimate how amazing a gift that is for us all. This child, this little helpless babe, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the heir to the throne of David. He is your king and mine, but his rule is not in power and show. His rule is much more like his coming into the world. Lowly, through the unexpected, the marginalized, the least of his people, at least in the eyes of the world. Beloved, the world does not look at Mary as God did. In the same way, the world does not look at you as God does. To the world, you are nothing. A statistic. One of billions. And your life has no purpose, no meaning. It doesn't go anywhere. You live, and you die. That is not how God looks at you. God looks at you with the eyes of grace, the eyes which gazed upon the Mother of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. His graceful eyes now turn to you, and in you he sees eternity. This mystery was kept secret for many ages, but is now revealed in Jesus Christ. By coming into your flesh and blood through the womb of the Virgin, God becomes man so that you may receive all of his gifts and blessings. And you receive that same Son, those same blessings today in the sacrament of the altar. Like Mary, you do not deserve to receive him, but he comes to you nonetheless. He comes to you now, hidden under bread and wine, and gives you his very body and blood for life and salvation. Come and worship the Christ child by receiving his flesh and blood. Eternal life is yours. You are holy by his body. God looks upon you with favor. He lifts you up out of your sins and sets you up as his family, as one of his own, for that is who you are in Christ Jesus, our infant King. Believe it for Jesus' sake.